You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kyle.
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Yes, sir. This is Knockouts and Three Counts, and we are broadcasting live here from the Great Lakes Comic Con at Macomb Community College. Having a good time. What's up, Ian? How you doing, sir? Last year, we broadcasted from here. We got a great draft from Ted DiBiase. And also, while we were here last year, we had an interview with a great doctor, Dr. K. We asked him a lot of great questions about, you know, wrestling and MMA and sports medicine and steroids. And he's back one more time, and he's going to answer more questions. We're going to talk to him about various other topics. So, Dr. K, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Continue
Wait, hold on. Yeah, okay, I can hear you now. All right, so once again, thank you for doing the show again. I really do appreciate it. We had a great conversation last year. I felt, hey, why not do it again? We should just make this an annual event, man.
Okay. Once a year,
I'll keep looking in the mail for my check.
Well, once we get ours.
I was about to say, once we get a check, then we could do that.
But, last year we talked a lot about steroids, people that we might think be on steroids. We kind of want to touch on that a little bit, but I want to switch things up a little bit. Right now in the WWE and MMA and in sports in general, and just the world in general right now, there's a big push for women right now. And last time we talked a lot about males in sports and, you know, their health. I want to touch more on the women this time. Before we get into the steroid stuff, as far as like women in general and in sports, is there something different that women need to do to stay healthy, to be the top athletes in whatever field they're in? Is there something they need to do differently from men to prepare for whatever they're getting to? Or is it pretty much just the same?
Well, obviously, physiologically, they're different. They still need high-protein diets, stay away from excessive amount of carbs. They want things like products like soy, which is going to push their estrogen up and their testosterone naturally down. A woman's already naturally low.
Right.
So if she does things to actually increase that, I mean, from a general health principle, yes, it may be better for her for female reasons, but athletic reasons, she doesn't want to mute her naturally low testosterone.
Okay. And so is it fair to say that testosterone is, quote unquote, better for athletics?
Well, unless you're in ultra endurance.
Okay.
Then actually it's a problem.
Okay.
But if you're in most general sports that need strength, muscle mass, it's going to be a problem to mute your own testosterone. As a female, even an elite female, here's a regular female, here's an elite female, but she's an average guy is higher than an elite female.
Right.
Testosterone-wise, just because a male.
Okay.
You know, what's really unique about just general women is they're always lower than the average male, right?
Right.
But when they go into the change, when they go into menopause, their testosterone goes up, their estrogen goes down. That's why they get hair growth.
Right.
They get differently. Now, the same man at 70, he's getting estrogen up, testosterone down. When he starts getting female, gets moody, he gets different things. So it works as bad.
Wow. Yeah, definitely not looking forward to that, man.
Well, no, if you take a male, and I've detoxed many a male athlete off drugs, they turn into a bitch. They start crying. Oh, I've got 350-pound NFL players, like a little baby crying, because they're having mood swings going up and down and up and down. And they're off, and some of them have been on god-awful amounts of drugs.
Right.
When you take them off that estrogen skyrockets.
Wow.
And that testosterone hits like 10-year-old girl.
Kyle, you got any questions? That necessarily have to be, you know, female related, but just, you know, sports medicine.
So,
related.
Since we know you're an avid MMA fan and stuff like that, I have to ask your opinion on the whole John Jones thing. And the reason I ask is because they keep saying that they're finding that's what I'm saying, man. Because
he's also a scumbag, but he's dirty. I mean, there are guys that are good guys, but I know they're not clean.
Yeah. We didn't talk about Tyron Whitley last year.
I mean, he's a nice guy. That's all he interacts with people. But he's clean. whereas he's, you hit and run on a pregnant woman, but run back to get your cash out of your rental car. You don't need to say much more about that.
Can't argue that.
He hasn't been, won't be, and will never be king.
Wow. See,
it should be called Jackson and Uncle John Testosterone Jew.
Wow.
Well, and
or better known as HGH.
Well, and two, I don't know if you saw the article.
No, they don't test. There's no HGH test. There isn't, but it's got off and it's been So, again, like I told last week, you can take a polygraph and pass it, but you don't take steroids.
Because you're not taking steroids, you're taking growth.
So, like, along with the steroids thing, it came out afterwards that Frank Mir said that when the UFC kicked him out and he had to go to Bellator when he failed the test, he said he was told by USADA that in order for the Turnabol that was found in his system even to be in there, it had to have been within the last few months. With the John Jones thing, they keep talking about how one test is clean, one test isn't clean. Like,
it's called the Dana White test and then the real test.
Of course. Of course, that's basically what I was trying to get at, because I've had this argument with I don't know how many people, and they're like, let the man...
With me and the physiologist, the clinical trainer, I'll tell you in a second. It's physiologically impossible for that long to still have traces in the system.
And it was, and the thing is, when the first one failed after he came back, bro, you've been suspended for 2 years. Like,
you do know, water-based quicker, oil-based longer, but not that long.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years is long for anything. So, and my other question for you is, with all the fights that have been lined up so far, I mean, are there any fights that are on the horizon right now that you're looking at?
Well, I would like, it's not lined up yet, but I would like to see Ridley fight, not just Joe Kiger, all these fights.
What, Covington?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
He basically seems bipolar. I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but he seems to be bipolar. You know,
I'm stoked to see that Cowboy McGregor fight.
No, I don't think it'd be a waste of your money.
Really? I feel like that one's got fireworks written all over it.
If you look at because the kryptonite to McGregor, he doesn't
is ground game.
He doesn't possess grappling.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a few submissions in his game, but the grappling, the hardcore, but the hips, the wrestling.
Yep, for sure.
It's all the hips, and it's that gorilla strength you get from wrestling you can't train in a weight room.
Agreed.
You got that grip and hang and tug and pull. He doesn't have it.
That's literally the thing that I said I think would made the difference in this fight, because although Conor, I feel like, can knock out a lot of people on his feet, he's not well-rounded to where Cerrone can fight anywhere the fight goes.
Yeah, I still wouldn't bet a diamond Cerrone. I like Cerrone. I wouldn't bet a diamond. And he's probably one of the very few on the roster that's good. I vouched for him and I signed a document. Never tested his blood.
Wow.
But he's good.
Good guy, too. Offered me a beer plenty of times.
No, I'm just saying, if I had to pick one guy on the roster that I'll put my career on, he's good.
Well, it's funny you say that. Do you think that's part of the reason why he hasn't really had the success that he probably should have? Because he's a high-level fighter, but it's like...
He has an incomplete game.
Okay.
If you look at the fights he loses the same. It's the same style. He doesn't have that in his game. He's never going to have it in his game. And he never wanted it in his game because he would have
got it. True.
I mean, he was at a gym where there were tons of grapplers, tons of BJJ guys,
right,
and he never... really got to that. You know, his stand-up game is basically his game, and there's where Conor shines.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so my next question, I want to get back to the ladies after this question, but it seems like ever since UFC got rid of IVs, as far as, like, you know, replenishing your hydrating after your weigh-ins, it seems like a lot of the fights that they have scheduled get canceled. It's like something happens after the weigh-ins up until the time the fight starts that they have to cancel these fights. Fighters are going to the hospital.
Having kidney failure.
Right. So, yeah, what's happening and why was that change made, in your opinion?
It was made because they want to be clean. But when you do such drastic weight loss, 17 pounds a day, you're certainly taking a fluid out of your body.
Right.
your organs are going to shut down.
Right.
So, I mean, when they were saying they were clean before and they were testing for steroids, there's other stuff you're not testing for. You're not testing for fat emulsification, growth. You're basically looking for anabolics.
Right.
So if you've got an anabolic profile, you're not testing for it. So you're not clean.
Right.
You know? Here's a question. So would you say, is there any time period in fighting in which you ever feel like there was a truly quote-unquote clean, like a clean play, fair playing ground ever? Or do you think that goes back as boxing, MMA, period? Because, I mean, there's been people popped in boxing for the same stuff, not quite as prominent as MMA, but...
I would say, you know, the 60s. Once you got into the past the Munich Olympics, and East Germany just came out of nowhere. In 68, East Germany winning their first Olympics in swimming and won nothing. In 68, they won every gold medal in swimming, especially for women. We won one gold medal. We won the relay. They won everything else. Why'd they do it? They reduced how they did it. 2 years back, 60 minutes did a piece. It was German truck program.
Uh-huh.
First of all, you know all those doctors are? They're in China. The Chinese Olympic team. But those doctors took, I think, like 12 or 16 women on the swim team. I think only three or so.
Wow.
They're younger than me.
Wow.
Like the swimmers are like teenage years.
Right, right.
I was an adult for the same time. These girls were 14, 15, 16. Most of them were bald. The one they interviewed live, she was balder than a man.
Wow.
And she was in her late 50s.
So that kind of leads to one of the questions that I had for you this year. We don't hear a lot about women using steroids or getting popped for steroids, maybe not in more of the, you know, popular sports like WNBA or MMA, professional wrestling. But in your opinion, how prevalent is female steroid use, and what are their effects on them as far as like later on in their careers, in their lives?
If they're in a sport where they're making some money, they'll use non-tested drugs.
Okay.
They'll go HGH, but again, you're taking it from outside the body into a female who doesn't have it, the health risks are dramatic. It's not like they're not bad for men. They're taking 10,000 times what they would normally get out of their natural body.
Uh-huh.
Your organs are going to rebel. Liver, kidneys, heart. You know, the reproductive system is all screwed up.
Right.
The chances of getting pregnant, menstrual cycle is shot.
Wow.
So how prevalent would you think it is in MMA with some of the people?
Women?
Yeah.
Right.
Not nearly as much as men.
Right.
But it's there. And it's more there in the presence of recovery and weight dropping drugs. Not so much muscle building, gain that.
Trying to make weight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, but again, you're taking Lasix. It's a drug. You're taking stuff to flush your system, basically making you completely, as they call it, dry.
Right.
That ain't good for your health. And that's why so many more of them now are ending up in emergency room. That's why so many more of them now aren't making weight. I never in my life wrestling ever missed weight. Ever. I was happy in the morning of a weigh-in. I was 10 over. It's a lot to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
Steam, hot pots, whatever. And then it was wrestling an hour later, not 24 hours later. I've heard of something in 27 pounds.
Oh, I've... Yeah.
In 12 hours.
It's crazy.
They better be in a hospital or they're dead.
I couldn't agree more, man. Like, that's why, you know, I wonder... We've seen that they've been talking about the implementation of new weight classes and things like that because they want to get rid of, you know, the harsh weight cuts.
That's never going to happen.
That was my question. I said, do you think with all the health issues they've had, will that happen?
People at elite level sports like this just give a rat's ass about it. Why would you want somebody to kick your knee in the head, snap off a limb? None of it's sensible. you're doing nonsensical stuff.
Well, you know, when you put it that way.
It's like, you know, you're saying, like, oh, let's make the stuff safe in football.
Yeah, you got 300-pound men running into each other.
It's called ragtag flag football. Because if not, it's violent.
Right.
You can make it less violent. But again, the truth of the matter is,
it's a violent sport.
10 million times greater than the helmet I played with. But they all tackle with their head.
Right.
They got these things here they don't want to have. And they want to make them smaller. You see linemen with these little hockey shoulder pads?
Yeah, Michael Bennett, he's famous for wearing, wearing kicker's shoulder pads.
He's wearing basically hockey shoulder pads.
Right.
Famous for pounds. It's ridiculous.
Dude, I remember when I played, we had big-ass bulky pads.
Of course they did. The helmets I played with were plastic garbage. Nobody tackled with their head.
Right.
Everybody used their shoulder pads. Get down low, use your shoulder pads down. Now, you can't block a guy from all over the waist. Well, guess what? If you're a blocking back and you're blocking on a running play, and the guy's 350 pounds, you got to get underneath him.
Right.
You've eliminated that. So you guarantee more injury. You know, and then the NFL says, you know, these aren't, and we're doing everything. You cannot do everything to protect the player.
Right.
If you did, you'd just say, okay, you're down.
Or you wouldn't play the sport.
Take up chess. Right.
Well, I've got kind of a different question for you. My high school is Detroit Mumford High School. It's the only school in the Detroit public school system that has a wrestling team. They just won districts. I'm not sure if they made it to states or whatnot, but
regionals.
I'm not sure if how they did in regionals, but I'm very proud of my high school. They're the first ones to have a wrestling team. I remember when I was there, I was interested in getting into wrestling, but they didn't have one. How for someone that wrestled yourself, like what lessons can you learn from being a wrestler? You know, they say, you know, playing football, you learn how to work in a team and, you know, be around people. What lessons do you learn outside of just the sport itself of wrestling? Can someone from
hard
the city
work.
Of Detroit learn?
I'll give you an example. College recruiting. There's four guys. The high school football playing ability is almost all similar. The dynamics are all similar. And I guarantee you every coach in America will pick the kid with wrestling background. You have balance. Leverage, you know those things. You learned it in wrestling.
Okay.
If all you did was play football, and they're all the same, Michigan, Alabama, whatever they're playing, pick the kid that's wrestling. He knows leverage. He has footwork. He has all the things you can't learn just football.
Well, as far as like personality-wise, and you know, life lessons, like what does wrestling teach you?
What does DC say? It's on his T-shirt. Embrace the grind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It is. You go. When I was in my 30s, I broke the world record for the Death Valley run. I never run more than a mile in my life at one time. I trained myself for 13 months to go slow and go. You know, I did it. It was like wrestling. Run. I was going slow my life. Because in wrestling, you do go for your going at. You do for goals, you run stairs. You run stairs, you run halls. You lift, you go, and you start over again. It's just relentless. You're like the human sled dog.
Okay.
And you can't get that out of other sports. You know, you look at, because all your bias people are wrestling background.
No.
What's the kryptonite for BJJ? We have hips, we have grind, we have pull. We never expose limbs. They have no answer.
If the guy has submission defense, it's a wrestler, though.
What I'm saying is, usually you go up against a BJJ guy, and you figure it out. The BJJ guy's up in your chest. He's got hips. He's got grip. Now, I'm telling you, the Gracies would have never been as popular here if they would have been the elite wrestlers coming hit from. Because that's the one thing. Other guys expose themselves. That's why the Gracies back in Brazil got popular. Because they went up a guy's
It didn't have that background.
They had a boxing background. They had a kickbox, whatever. They didn't have it. And once they got to the ground, they were dead meat.
Right.
For wrestling.
I agree with what he's saying. I mean, as far as the wrestling being like the best background for MMA, because, I mean, case in point, Bobby Nash that I trained with that, you know, just fought in the UFC. He wrestled at Michigan State. all that stuff. And then he came into jiu-jitsu. He was beating guys that were way higher rank-wise, but that's because he had the collegiate background. Honestly, I think if, like this past weekend, one of our past guests of the show, Miles Jury, fought on the card, I think if he would have used his wrestling and jiu-jitsu, he would have won that fight handily because he got into a... Yeah, where if he would have used either one, jiu-jitsu or his wrestling, because he had both, I think he would have beat him. So I'm just saying, all I was going to say is just that wrestling, I definitely agree, wrestling gives you an advantage.
In wrestling, we have a term called gas gas.
Yep.
You see wrestling gas. If you go to a league DJ, go to Brazil, the cardio is, want to get you real with people. Run into the water.
Right.
Their strength and conditioning is ridiculous. The elite BJJ strength coach is voided out of his form. The guy that does all the elite guys in Brazil, and again, that's a awkward silver film contest because he's like beans. Okay. To recover.
Right.
But that's a real point. Loads of BJJ guys. No, they don't do this for you. They're thinking, oh, some of you. What if you don't? On your legs, take on shit. Go on and go. And go on and go. And after the first round, you breathe your mouth.
Well, I've got two more questions. You can go ahead and think of something real quick.
You go ahead.
I was recently listening to an interview with a young lady who's in professional wrestling right now named Bianca Belair.
Oh, shit.
And she was talking about she used to run track before. She was a great, great track star. But she's a naturally muscular person. Like, I think she's like 150. And what she was saying was that she ended up developing bulimia or anorexia. I forgot which one, because she wanted to lose weight because her team...
Bulimia.
Yeah. Her coach was saying, like, you were faster when you were small. So she ended up developing, you know, bulimia or anorexia. I forgot which one. What do you say to a young lady who they know that they're a bigger person in general, and they get this outside pressure from coaches or, you know, from the outside saying, hey, you need to lose weight so that you can be better at your sport? Like, what would you say to a young lady like that to...
You get it from a kid, tell the coach you're full of shit, okay, race me. You get a little bit of reward because it's like, if you're at the level, major college, going to the Olympics, and you got somebody telling you what you got to do to get to that level.
Right, and I think at this time she was at South Carolina University. Okay. So
yep.
That's a big-time program for track.
Right. And they were telling her, oh, you were, well, you used to be faster in high school. And in her mind, she knew what it was. It's that she was making herself throw up. It wasn't easy. But it caused so much problems after that psychologically and physically for her that she ended up leaving there, transferring to Texas A&M, same problems, and then went to Tennessee. And when she started just running and, you know, just not taking care of herself, she was a star at Tennessee University.
Well, again, some of the worst problems are from advice that you get from advisors, coaches, whatever. I've always told people, even like in bodybuilding, so you got a guy giving you a drug program, he never went 5 seconds to college. He has no clinical training. He's looked at magazines, books, library online. He's an expert. Would you want that guy to operate on you? And why in the world, if you're at a high level athletically, would you want this moron giving you advice?
Right. Can't argue that at all.
There's a couple of guys at Gold's Gym in Venice that are like the gurus for the bodybuilding world. You're working for peanuts out of a gym. This guy's giving you a weak level of advice. But, you know, they believe it. You know, and then it's too late.
Kyle?
You hit the question I was going to ask.
So. Okay. All right, well, last question, and once again, thank you for doing this. I really do appreciate it. And we'll see you again next year. as far as women in general and in sports, is it from a doctor who's been there, done that, worked with some great athletes, some celebrities, we can't name any names, but you've worked with some of the best. What advice can you give me, a young lady, or just a young athlete in general, to do it the right way, you know, stay healthy, and to perform at the best of their abilities?
Realistically, and I tell it to a lot of parents, like high school age kids, Your athlete needs to pick the right gear. And I don't mean it as a joke.
Okay.
If you have elite genetics, even if your parents weren't athletes, strength, flexibility, whatever. My mother was from the Ukraine. She had calves like a bodybuilder. Never lifted a weight in her life. She was shoulders, muscular. As a woman.
Right.
She smoked and drank. That's genetics. There's no substitute for the genetics. And then be with someone who's going to take you the right way. If they say you have to take a needle, leave.
Okay.
You know? And if they say you got to take these pills, yeah. If they tell you got to take something, and they won't tell you what it is, run as fast as you can to it.
Okay.
Because that's the only way you're going to go. And if someone says you can't get to the Olympics, you can't get to the World Championship, whatever the sport is, you can't. It may be more difficult. But I will tell the parent also, if you don't have elite genetics, you don't have drugs you can take.
Right. And the reason why I'm asking this is because I have a niece. She's 16. This is her sophomore year in high school. In her freshman year, she won the Georgia State Championship in the shot put. And this year, she outdid her record from last year, and she's doing the discus now. And I told her, my niece is taller than I am. She's 6'4" and huge. She got long arms. I told her, like, Sydney, if you apply yourself, you could go to the Olympics. Like, if you're doing
discus, you need leverage. You need long leverage.
Right. And I'm telling her, like, if you're winning the Georgia State Championship as a freshman and you only know the basic technique, you haven't learned all the spin technique, all the advanced techniques, and you're winning the Georgia State Championship, if you apply yourself, you could be Olympic level. And I think she's done better this year than she did last year. So
I know zero about who's coaching.
True.
And I don't know how they run their program. And if she looks like she has a weak potential, that's when you come.
That's when you start getting those phone calls from people that shouldn't have your phone number and stuff like that.
You coach them with a guy who knows a guy, and you know this is going to take you because the Olympics are coming up in a couple of years.
Right.
You know, we need you to get the best thing. We need you to be the best so you can make the Olympic team. And the only way you can do that is through detective work. You really need to go with the coach. Because you had athletes that subsequently were busted. You know, that's the only way you can know. And also, she goes from, she's really good in Georgia.
Right.
Well, she's third best in the world, like overnight.
Okay. So if you listen to that, Sydney, your uncle and your mom are going to do a lot of research.
I would check out my coach's front back and center, and I would look at former athletes coach front athletes.
Okay.
Because if all of a sudden you see 6, 7, 8 people do a pop,
then you know what was going on.
And you just steer clear. Take your natural talent and hire a private coach and get in the AAU circuit and try to get in so you can get a little bit of trial bid.
Okay. Well, any last words that you anything you wanted to touch on, you wanted to get out there, anything that's on the top of your mind that you wanted to talk about before we let you go?
Well, I'll put this to you in street terms. Drug cheaters need to rot in hell and die of hunger. That's all I got.
All righty. Dr. K, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Medical advice.